If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery.
Graduation is a sweet occasion, but finding the perfect gift can be a bitter struggle. MMS.com has a solution. Personalized M&Ms. Just imagine the look on your grad's face when they receive a custom candy creation featuring their school's colors, name, and even their photo printed right on some M&Ms. It's a thoughtful way to celebrate their accomplishments and make the occasion even more special. Visit MMS.com to create your own personalized gifts and party favors for graduations, weddings, birthdays, and more. That's MMS.com. Use code WONDERY to receive 15% off your next order.
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. Today you'll hear Seth chat with Broad City's Alana Glazer and Abby Jacobson, who answer a few more questions backstage just for this podcast. But first, a closer look.
One of President Trump's closest associates pleaded guilty on Friday to lying to the FBI as part of the escalating Russia probe. But that didn't stop Senate Republicans from forging ahead with a radical plan to slash taxes on corporations and the wealthy. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. As special counsel Robert Mueller has handed down a series of indictments and gathered more evidence in his Russia investigation, one guy seemed especially quiet, Trump's former national security advisor, Michael Flynn. The lack of any news about Flynn stirred speculation that he might be cooperating with Mueller, suspicion that Trump himself seemed to confirm with a cryptic comment during a rambling address to members of the Coast Guard on Thanksgiving.
With the Air Force warning a lot of planes, in particular the F-35 fighter jet, which is, you know, almost like an invisible fighter. I was asking the Air Force guys, I said, how good is this plane? They said, well, sir, you can't see it. I said, yeah, but in a fight, you know, a fight like I watch on the movies, the fight, they're fighting. How good is it? They say, well, it wins every time because the enemy cannot see it. Even if it's right next to it, it can't see it. The stuff I said, the stuff that we have is always a little bit better, too. You know, when we sell to other countries, even if they're allies, you never know about an ally. An ally can turn. You understand? You're going to find that out.
No, you're going to find that out. It makes sense Trump was talking to the Coast Guard because he was babbling like a shipwrecked sailor who just got dragged out of the ocean.
Thunderstorm, giant squid, invisible airplane.
That speech made so little sense, the Coast Guard threw Trump a life preserver. But it turns out Trump was right to be worried about Flynn because on Friday, he pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI, specifically about his conversations with the Russian ambassador while Trump was still president-elect. As you might recall, President Obama imposed sanctions on Russia and expelled their diplomats as punishment for their election meddling. And it seems like Flynn and the Trump team were essentially trying to get the Russians not to retaliate, which sheds new light on this Trump tweet from December after Putin announced he would hold off. Great move on delay by V. Putin. I always knew he was very smart. To which Putin responded, I have a girlfriend. Also, V. Putin? It's almost like he was trying to maintain plausible deniability by not using his full name.
Who, Vladimir Putin? Oh, no, I was talking about Vince Putin from Putin Motors, Movers. You know the commercial with Vince, the furniture is put in your house. Very good.
Flynn's guilty plea also sheds new light on this exchange Trump had with reporters a few months later in February. When he seemed to swing wildly back and forth between saying he didn't tell Flynn to contact the Russians and also that Flynn was right to contact the Russians.
I don't think he did anything wrong. If anything, he did something right, which certainly would have been okay with me if he did it. I would have directed him to do it if I thought he wasn't doing it. I didn't direct him, but I would have directed him.
Trump loves to give this kind of weird two-part answer. Here's one answer, and then here's a different answer for when you find out the first answer was a lie. It's like saying, I have a girlfriend who lives in Canada, and also, there's nothing wrong with not having a girlfriend. Well, unsurprisingly, Trump furiously backpedaled away from Flynn on Friday, but might have accidentally incriminated himself. As you may recall, Trump tried to get then-FBI Director James Comey to shut down his investigation of Flynn by calling Comey into the Oval Office and telling him, I hope you can let this go. Now, if Trump knew at that time that Flynn had committed a crime, like, for example, lying to the FBI, and was trying to stop the investigation of that crime, then that could constitute obstruction of justice. So if you're Trump, the one thing you don't want to do is admit that you knew Flynn had lied to the FBI when you fired him.
The president tweeting this, I had to fire General Flynn because he lied to the vice president and the FBI.
Man, he is so bad at this. He's like one of those burglars who leaves his driver's license behind. Except he tweets his driver's license. So Trump is admitting that he fired Flynn for lying to the FBI, then tried to get the FBI director to stop investigating Flynn for lying to the FBI. It's almost like he wants to get indicted. If Trump somehow serves out his full term, I wouldn't be surprised if this was his farewell letter. In fact, that tweet was so incriminating that Trump's team then tried to downplay it by claiming the tweet wasn't actually written by Trump, but by his lawyer, John Dowd. Dowd told ABC News he wrote those words and had done so in a sloppy manner. And he told Axios, I'm out of the tweeting business. Are you also out of the lawyer business? Because you basically admitted that your client committed a crime. That'd be like if Johnny Cochran got up and said, the glove does fit, my client's full of So Trump's former campaign chairman and national security advisor have now been charged as part of an investigation into the president's campaign and ties to Russia. And the president himself basically admitted that he tried to obstruct justice. So how did Senate Republicans respond? They decided to overlook all of that and vote in the middle of the night to pass one of Trump's biggest legislative priorities, a massive tax cut for corporations and the wealthy. Republicans passed the bill at almost 2 a.m. on Saturday in a frantic late-night push, during which they were making handwritten changes to the bill behind closed doors. And Democrats like Montana Senator John Tester complained that they couldn't even read what they were voting on.
It's the night we're going to be voting on the tax bill. I just got the tax bill 25 minutes ago. This is the tax bill. See how thick it is? This is what it looks like. Oh, no, let's look at the bill. This is what it really looks like. I want you to take a look at this, folks. This is your government at work. Here's the bill as it's written. Here's the modifications that are in it. I can read one word. It's called add this language. Can you tell me what that word is? If you can, you got better eyes than me.
And I mean, that's insane. Senators should be able to read the bill. The only justification for handwriting that messy is if the bill was so depressing they had a doctor write a prescription for Zoloft on it. And it actually got worse than that, because not only was the bill filled with last-minute handwritten changes that were impossible to read, some of those changes didn't make it onto the page because of the copier.
Page 257 out of the 479. Why do I pick this page? Because they didn't have time to type it. They wrote it out in longhand. We're not even teaching cursive in a lot of schools anymore, but someone on the staff knew it enough to try. The problem is, they wrote it in cursive along the margin here. It's about subchapter S corporations and how much tax they pay and what they don't pay. I defy anybody to read it, because the problem was, when they copied it, they chopped off lines. So there aren't full sentences here. They're just kind of like little phrases and words.
Even the copier didn't have enough time to read the bill. Senator Elizabeth Warren did her best to try to make out what those words said, but didn't have much luck.
Adjustments attributable to conversion from S corporation, oh, it's been cut off, to corporation. Section 481 is amended by adding at the end, I assume they mean end, but again, it's all cut off, the following new subsection. Adjustments attributable to conversion for a corporation, something, C corporation, paren, dangerous? That can't be right. Ingenious?
If it's in this bill, it's definitely not ingenious. This is a bill that could affect almost every aspect of American life, and senators are reading it like Nick Cage finding a secret message written on the back of a constitution.
It's a tax cut for corporations!
Now, the centerpiece of this legislation, of course, is a giant cut in the corporate tax rate from 35% to 20%. That cut is permanent. The cuts for middle-class taxpayers, however, expire after 8 years, which means that by 2027, people making $40,000 to $50,000 would pay a combined $5.3 billion more in taxes, while the group earning $1 million or more would get a cut of $5.8 billion. On Sunday, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell was asked why Republicans didn't just write a bill that guarantees that all middle-class people will get a permanent tax cut, and said it couldn't be done.
Why not, in putting this bill together, make it so that you could say everybody in the middle class will get a tax cut that's permanent?
Well, it's impossible to do that.
What is with that laugh? Sounds like I get caught in his neck pouch. To help pay for those corporate tax cuts, the GOP also added a provision that repeals the Obamacare insurance mandate, which would lead to 13 million fewer people having health insurance by 2027. And on top of everything else, the GOP tax bill would increase the federal deficit by nearly $1.5 trillion over a decade. Now, Republicans claim, despite the evidence, that the bill would pay for itself by stimulating economic growth, a myth that has been proven false over and over again. But that hasn't stopped Republicans from repeating it, like Louisiana Senator John Kennedy, who said that if you pass tax reform, then you get an easy chair and a can of beer and sit back and watch this economy roar. If you're trying to say this tax bill will create jobs, maybe don't use the universal symbol for unemployment. Yes, sir, if this bill passes, get ready to live in your mom's basement and watch all the afternoon courtroom shows. Of course, when that doesn't happen, Republicans will inevitably use the deficits they created as an excuse to cut spending, specifically safety net programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. Now, the way Republicans try to skirt this issue usually is by claiming that they won't cut benefits for anyone who's currently on those programs, but would make changes for future enrollees. And during a debate on Thursday, Senator Bernie Sanders got one of his GOP colleagues, Pat Toomey, to admit that that's exactly what Republicans plan on doing.
Do I have your word now that you, as a senator, I know you can't speak for everybody, that you, as a senator, after this bill is passed, and I suspect it will be, you will not support any cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid? Do I have that word from you?
I am not going to support any cuts to people who are on the program and need those benefits.
There it is.
But I want this program to survive. I am going to acknowledge that we need this program for the next generation, too.
He just let the cat out of the box, or whatever the phrase is. He just told you he's going to cut Social Security.
That's right. They let the cat out of the box. Although I'd love to hear someone explain that phrase was wrong to Bernie Sanders. The point is, the jig is over and the chickens are coming home to dance.
Reclaiming my time.
But what Bernie got Toomey to admit there is that Republicans are coming for Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid next. And they're doing it all so they can pay for tax cuts for corporations and the wealthy with this bill. Republicans have once again made clear who they serve, and it's not you. And Trump has once again revealed who he really is. If you're someone who voted for Trump because you thought he was your ally, just remember,
you never know about an ally. An ally can turn.
This has been A Closer Look. Our guests are the co-creators and stars of the very popular series Broad City. The season 4 finale airs tomorrow night on Comedy Central. Please welcome back to the show two of our favorites, Alana Glazer and Abby Gabriel, everybody. Hi. So happy to have you both back. Congratulations.
So happy to be back.
Season 4. And the season 4 season finale, you are celebrating your friendiversary in this episode.
Right? That's right.
And have you guys had to do that in your real life? You've been friends a really long time. Have you ever done a friendiversary?
That's why we're here, Sam. We met on your show.
You're celebrating with me. Thank you so much.
We've had, like, dinner.
Oh, that's nice.
We've had dinner together.
That's good. I think dinners are perfectly fine.
Honestly, because we work, so much of our time is working that like dinner is huge.
Oh, funny. That you don't actually have time together where you're just relaxing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? We're like so excited to be.
So this episode is about a scavenger hunt that you plan for your friendiversary. How much of the show, I know a lot of it is obviously based on your friendship. How much of it is fully exactly what happened and how much of it is hyper exaggerated?
This episode is hyper exaggerated.
Yeah, actually, the seeds of reality in this episode are that we have seen me and this producer have Lily Burns, who works for the show too, have both seen sexual photo shoots happening from the West Side.
I have yet to see.
All you got to do is hang out on the West Side Highway, smoke a little pot, and look into the rich buildings.
Oh,
and
wow.
I saw like a sexual photo shoot happening, and then we were talking about just jamming on stuff with Lily, and she was like, "No, I've also seen a."
No, a sexual photo shoot is people in no dress.
Mine was the one I saw was a naked guy. I saw a tushy in the window, and Lily saw someone having sex with it, similar to the situation in the episode.
Oh wow!
Taking photos of it.
Wow, that's so wonderful that people do that at windows.
Yeah. New York is sex positive.
Yeah, you know what I mean? New York is sex positive. I do feel like somebody in a two-person situation, somebody said we should close the blinds, and somebody else said leave them open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there's some hotels on.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Oh yeah, well you go like the standard. That seems like a place where people.
I wasn't gonna say it.
What?
I wasn't gonna say the name.
I have a small sponsorship with them.
You're endorsing them.
It's like on late night on cable where I'm like, hey, if you want to in the window, the standard.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Listen, I'm a bunch of hotel windows. That one is the one.
That one.
Do it.
I'm gonna get it. Seth Meyers discount.
So I want to talk about a building that's far less fancy but just as important, which is the UCB Theater in Chelsea, an incredible improv theater that you guys, to some degree, got your start at. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they just shut down. They're opening a new theater closer to Midtown. But do you guys have memories of UCB? Did you love doing shows there?
We just did this like 7-hour shift at oh my god.
This is early Broad City stuff.
This is
right
our
there.
First Broad City Live. It, funny enough, in this episode, we were like, this is genius. We're gonna bring Dallas Barbecue food to UCB, and this was like a big bit. I don't know how well it did, but those are like Dallas Barbecue mugs we convinced them to give us.
Wow.
Borrow.
That's a big deal
for us. This is the first one.
All right, that's you guys and Anthony and Tamanek,
right?
This was just the other night.
Oh, that's a goodbye show.
And the next hallway is like iconic to us. That's where we had like, for me, that was my like first real partying was in the hallway.
This is a fake cigarette. Though.
I should point out, for those who don't know, this is the basement of a Gristiti's.
Yes.
And so.
And
there's something really, there's something really awesome and New York-y, but also really depressing about being like, where'd you party last night? Let's just say underneath the supermarket.
Yeah, or where was the first place you partied? Oh, a shared hallway under a grocery store in McDonald's.
There's literally someone from McDonald's pushing the trash out in the middle of the party.
Yeah. That's how you know. That's very New York. It's very punk rock.
It really was where we first, you know, met all these comics. Our heroes got to...
You met Amy Poehler there, I'm assuming?
We never saw her.
Never. Okay.
And actually, I used to go to Ask. So we did the last Ask Cat last Sunday.
Fantastic.
And I used to wait in line to watch you on Ask Cat.
I would do shows there on Sunday nights. Yeah. It was
really
fun.
Brought my dad.
It was wild, like, that you were on SNL and then you would come there Sunday and it was like, he's here. He's really here.
You can't do it. I had to stop doing it because once I got married, it was very hard to explain to my wife, like, I'm going to do comedy all week, and then on Sunday night, instead of hanging out with you, I'm going to go do comedy.
Yeah. For free.
I'm not going to make any money, honey. Anyway, enjoy your evening.
Yeah. Totally.
But it was great because Amy Poehler was the one who would get all of us at SNL. She would call us on Sunday and be like, you got to come do the show. And she would drag us all out. And it was just,
oh, man.
It was really fantastic. You did a show with your brother there as well.
Yeah, my brother Elliot and I had a show that ran for 3 years called High School Talent Show. And Abby did it. It was a sketch show that was like, it's supposed to be in a high school auditorium. And
you could come up with characters that would be in
at a high school
show. It was just so much fun.
That was my first experience producing. I loved it. We would email and we'd be like, important stuff going on. You know what I mean? It was so fun to give what I love doing comedy that kind of seriousness. I got that at UCB.
Well, that's fantastic. You guys have something to say about DACA.
we thought that this might be a little bit more important than the finale of Broad City. we wanted to talk about DACA and the DREAM Act.
So I met four Dreamers this weekend, Maria, Pamela, Tony, and Daniela. And they were chill, smart 20-somethings, just chill people who happened to come to this country when they were children as undocumented immigrants. And they are four of 800,000 young people who have spent their childhoods, their adolescence, and their 20s in the USA contributing to this country.
And now, because of straight-up racism, the 45th presidential administration wants to send these people to countries that they were born in, but they're not their homes. I mean, some of these people have not been back to these countries since they were infants.
And it really is only coming from the racist people in the White House. 88% of Americans from both parties believe that Dreamers should stay. What other issue, honestly, have you heard of in the last year that both parties agree on 88%?
Maybe the Standard Hotel. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think so.
So listen, we're encouraging you guys.
You, the empowered viewer who can do something.
To call Congress to ask them to protect Dreamers by the end of the year. So 45, that's what RuPaul refers to
him as. Our good
friend,
RuPaul. Yeah.
Yes, he kind of is our good friend, whatever.
Honestly.
But 45 wants to push off this conversation, but we feel, and it's obvious that these 800,000 young people deserve to celebrate the holidays with some peace of mind.
So how do you call Congress? Go to dreamers.forwardfwd.us, and it'll connect you to your congressperson. Tell them to pass the DREAM Act before the holidays to end up on the beautiful, gorgeous side of history that our country sometimes falls on. And you can check out my Instagram. I made a video of me calling my congressperson. It's awkward. It's challenging. It's fine. It's totally fine. It makes a difference.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks. One more time for Abby and Alana, everybody.
Hey, guys. This is Kevin, one of the producers here at Late Night. We are backstage with Abby and Alana. Thanks for taking a couple more minutes to talk to us backstage. We're in a very crowded room right now,
yeah.
By the way.
There's like 50 people in
great.
This room.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four, five, 16 members.
Wow. I love it.
Yeah, team.
It takes that much for
That's
season
it.
Four.
And for this.
We've our accountant,
for this.
It, right.
Our investment banker.
Yeah, yep. I bring my business manager wherever I go. Can I buy this?
You never know.
Can I buy this, Frank?
Yeah.
Can I buy this?
Well, congrats on completing season four. The finale airs tomorrow night. You know, looking back at the season, are there any storylines that you guys have in the show were cut, or any jokes that you have that were that didn't make it into this season?
You know what? The witches episode, just pieces of that didn't happen. We had like a storyline about real estate and real estate running on cocaine in New York City. The real estate industry runs on cocaine in New York City. And we wrote it. And then I was talking to someone who does real estate, and he was like, do you know someone that is in real estate? And I was like, no, we were just making a joke. He was like, oh, it's true. Yeah, it's totally true. The real estate industry in New York City runs on cocaine. And I was like, And, you know, it was a joke that was like, could have been true and then turned out to be true. But then we rewrote it.
There wasn't anything that like we shot that was like, we can't do this.
Yeah. Nobody came in and like, oh, this is too risque, or
Comedy Central's like, do it on.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Comedy Central's like, you nuts.
Yeah. Well, there was one thing that we had talked about a little bit. There was a subtle runner throughout the season, a song called Leanne.
Yeah.
If you guys could talk about where that came from and how that will culminate in the finale episode.
Yeah, it came up in the writers or in the punch up room, which is after, you know, right before we start shooting, like the last part of the rewrites. And it was just like this joke that we love that was okay. So in the finale,
I was not sold on it right
now. No, Alana did not like it.
I was like, this is really stupid.
And it was actually one of the only things like we almost fought about, because I was like, I'm not going to force you to have Leanne on it.
I was like, I can't not.
She's like, I don't
can't
get it.
And I was like, Leanne, I just think it's yet, so but I, funny. I think it's stupid.
I just thought it was so funny. So, you know how like every year there's like the pop song.
Yeah.
Like some song that is like on every fucking radio station. You get in the cab, it's like on the thing. It's like people's windows. It's like every radio. And we were like, okay, so what if in the finale there's a karaoke bar? What if this song is this, like we make up the song that the person's singing? And everyone knows the words to the song. And then if that's the finale, then we pepper the song in throughout the entire season in the background.
Like when Abby's tripping out and in the Shrooms episode and we just split, she is turning the things on the radio and we retroactively you know, in the edit, put Leanne on the radio. Yeah.
And it's like in the bodega. And it's like in a cab scene that it was actually is a deleted scene. But it's just like it got to a point like where so our music supervisor, Matt FX, we were like, we know what we want the song to sound like. And we videotaped and sung him our a cappella version. Mm-hmm. And then he produced it, hired a singer, hired people to make this song. And it sounds like a hit pop song.
Sounds great.
And our whole crew was singing it. Like our sound dude, Phil, would blast it. And everyone just knew the song. It was like a big crew joke. But I love it. I still am.
Can you give us a little Leanne a cappella backstage or how you pitched it to Matt?
Oh. Yeah, ready? Leanne.
But then it's like, boom, I am
Leanne. You are Leanne. We are The video is way better, but then we heard it, and it's literally, like, it's part literally someone's going that long with
to
Leanne.
Me. Part of the joke is still that it is grotesque.
Yeah,
and part of the joke is that it is literally a first pitch joke that made it into this
and
whole
that
thing.
We the bosses, so we get to do it.
Yep,
that's
sorry.
Part that of the joke. Nice. That's part of the joke.
It's a metaphor for nothing.
Correct.
We are not Leanne. Leanne is nothing.
Leanne is
but it's also like this formulaic
girl, you know
what
I
mean? Pop song.
Who got
like,
to?
What are any of them about? Yeah. Like us and you and them. I don't know.
So you weren't sold on originally. Is there? Are you guys pretty much same page though when it comes to things? Or you guys? How does it?
This was
sort
a
of
big debate.
Yeah.
Well,
test,
I remember a
moment where Kelsey was like, "I need to know if we're making," it. And I was like, "I really want to make it." And you were like, "I just don't like it." And I'm like, "I'm not going to force you to do it."
But I think I was like. But my thing was like, I do not dislike it in the way that I am going to squash it. I'm just like, and I think it makes sense what's happening now where I'm like, it's funny, but I'm like, ew. You know what I mean?
That is one of the things, you know, there are other, I just can't think of another instance where you're like, we got to do this thing. And I'm like, it's not really like my favorite, but like, yeah, let's do it. This is where our sense of humor differs, where I am like, this is hilarious.
But like same page, it's like we're always finding the thing together, and we have distinct points of view. Yeah. And
are there things you feel like you guys don't know about each other still? I mean, ever after having worked for each other?
I don't think so.
Yeah, you couldn't shock each other with something.
It, you know, it's like whatever. We all like learn about our personally. The way I feel about you, Abby, it's like we are all learning about ourselves all the time. So it's not like I know everything there is to know about Abby, but just in that sister family way, I'm like, oh, she gonna do this?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess it would have to be like a new situation that we would both be in, and it'd be like,
but
how
I
would
still
we?
Feel like you'd be like, right. Like even if it were a new situation, you wouldn't be surprised by the way. You'd be like,
sometimes you are a little bit more like, I'm like, she's gonna either react this way or react this way, and then she's gonna switch to this or go back.
I feel more like I know what it's going to be, and it usually is that. But even knowing the two different versions is like the same thing as knowing the one thing I'm going to do, you know?
Gotcha. You guys start back to work on Monday. Start writing season 5?
Yeah. We are real workaholics, LOL. Shout out to our boys. No, but we're really truly addicted to work, and we haven't... we've been doing other projects this whole time, and we're like, Monday.
Uh-huh.
So here we are.
How does writing a season begin for you guys? I mean, you guys would just go in and start pitching show ideas. I mean, do you break it down by episode or jokes or?
Well, like? we're doing it a little differently this season. Just the two of us are starting for 2 weeks, sort of blue sky, which we don't usually get the opportunity to do.
Yeah.
And then we really will start in January.
And blue sky is like macro ideas.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, imagine if we did this. No, like fitting it into a thing. So that's
it's
like
been
blue
a
sky.
Second. Usually it's kind of closer. Yeah.
And we're giving ourselves more blue sky time than ever before. Yeah. 2 weeks alone and then 2 weeks with some more writers. And then we do start outline script.
Like in we break episodes in like 2 days. Once we start.
We'll talk about this a little bit on the show tonight with Seth, but UCB just closed the theater in Chelsea, which is where you guys met and so many people have performed and where you guys saw so many shows. Was it a huge blowout on Saturday into Sunday or all
so
weekend?
So we spent not even blowout party wise, blowout like emotional blowout. Yeah. We did like a 8 hour stretch or 7 hours at the theater from 7 p.m. to 2 a.m. I did monologues for the early ASCAT. Abby did monologues for the late ASCAT. And then we did a Broad City Live midnight show. And we spent about an hour and 10 minutes. I was like, this is indulgent. Let's make it 40 minutes where we were just going to talk all the memories. And Abby was like, let's see. We'll see what happens. But just we'll see. And it was, and we did see. It was like 70 minutes. We just said every memory that we could remember from that theater. And it was, we just, it was, we are so blessed, lucky, privileged. We were stoked. And we earned it.
Yeah, I mean, I am excited for, like, or I'm thinking positively about, like, you know, the theater will become what this one was, the new one. We're sort of, like, a little removed from the scene right now anyway, just because we're just, like, our heads are in the show. But, yeah, it's such a, I mean, I feel like that's more significant than, like, my college experience. Yeah. I'm a little bit like, oh, the place I came up and completely found what I wanted to do is not there anymore. It's a little bit.
That is like my high school, college, synagogue, everything. Yeah. That's like where it really, I'm so grateful we got to say goodbye in that way, because it really is an era that we're never going to experience like in that way again. And we're so lucky that we were there when we were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whew.
That's great. All right. Well, thank you guys again, and congrats on the season, and can't wait for more episodes.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
Business can mean a lot of things. For some, it's earning reports, the top MBA program, investments, but business isn't everything we do. Side hustles that explode into the next billion-dollar company.
I need to create my own product that I control what the marketing is for.
Unconventional ideas that change the world we live in.
AI is everywhere, with venture capital pouring in.
From Elon Musk,
he took a massive axe and swung it through Twitter's workforce.
To Taylor Swift,
she is unstoppable as her Eras Tour stimulated local economy.
Your favorite coffee shop down the street to the vacation house you rented last weekend. Whatever business means to you, Wondery is the destination for business podcasts. Listen to top business shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Everything from top daily news.
There was more ranch dressing sold last year than ketchup and barbecue sauce.
We're buying the dip, literally.
To deep dives on the biggest successes and failures of our time.
20,000 people lost their jobs.
Wondery means business.